Local chef Joan Autry joining us in the studio live. And of course, we have to have your theme music for you, even
That's
though
right.
you're here with us live this morning. Thank
Good
you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And she's actually got a little scooter and a big, what would you call that, boot on your foot?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You hurt yourself?
There's a reason why I cook for a living, and I'm not a ballerina, because I'm not coordinated. I fell and broke a small bone in my foot. And, of course, I have to have, you know, 62 million different pieces of apparatus to wrap said small bone in my foot until it heals again.
So, well, we are wishing you a speedy recovery.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm eating lots of soup and made with organic beef bones.
Oh, yum.
Yes, to try and get my bone strength back.
Very good. And Joan will be recording some more segments, some more cooking segments for us. But today she's here to answer some listener questions.
Yay!
I always love listener questions. So let's get right to it because we got a lot of good stuff to cover this morning. Joan, we have Sheila in Snohomish who has a question for you.
Okay.
She wants to know, what are some of the things I need to keep in mind when choosing fish? I'm thinking about either fin fish or shellfish, she says.
Sheila, thank you for your question. Most people prefer shellfish in the summertime, and that's, you know, traditional, but also in the months of, I think it's the ER months, they usually say that it's best to stay away from at least some of the shellfish. But in any case, fin fish in particular are really, they should smell like the sea. So if you get a chance, get up close and personal to your fish. They should smell not too salty, but like the sea and
so,
not too fishy.
Like, yeah, because sometimes I get fish and it does smell fishy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
That's not really good. It's been sitting for a little too long. And it's hard to describe that smell like the sea, but you'll know it when you smell it. And also if you get a chance to just kind of touch the flesh of the fish, it should just bounce back and be really, really nice. And if it has still the skin on it, the skin should be really shiny.
Shiny
yes,
skin.
Yes.
All right. So there you go, Sheila in Snohomish. We also have Rachel in Linwood with a question. She asks, hey, Joan, can I use my Halloween pumpkin for a pumpkin pie? That is, if the kid down the street doesn't get wild and smash it to pieces in my driveway.
Right. Yeah. That kid knows the kid in my neighborhood.
And mine, too.
Yeah. Actually, you know, as much as we want to recycle and and be expedient about our food, it really isn't a good idea to use the jack-o'-lantern pumpkin. And I'll tell you why. Because it's not got the same kind of sweetness, and it's also got a lot of the stringiness that make it really, really difficult. There are some pumpkins that you can get in the store, and they're selling them now, and some of the farmers markets that are still open that are, they're called either sugar pumpkins, or some people refer to them as pie pumpkins. They're really small, and they're very, very bright orange, and all you need to do is grab a couple of those. They're very, very reasonably priced. You cut them open, remove the stem, cut them open, scoop out the seeds, and bake them until they're nice and soft. Scoop out the meat, and you'll have a really, really wonderful base for your pumpkin pie.
That sounds yummy.
Pop it in the Cuisinart, get it all nice and smooth, and it is wonderful. And then you can add all sorts of goodies, brown sugar and spices and things like that.
Yeah. Thank goodness we had Colin on earlier this morning, because with all this food stuff, I want to eat, and then I'm just going to have to work it all off.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's his department.
Yeah, that's his department. We have Bo in Lake Stevens who wants to know, can you give me some pointers on how to make sure my pasta doesn't stick together when I cook it? Now, I have to say, I just cooked a pot of pasta night before last, and it was the whole wheat kind, and it was kind of gross.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, the key to start out with, the basic thing, building block, is to make sure you have really good pasta. And there are some good whole wheat pastas out there. There's some good rice pastas. I've even seen Jerusalem artichoke flour pasta. Now, I haven't worked with that particular type, but there are good ones out there. And what I would recommend is, and my girlfriend told me this, she's not even Italian, but it's true. In the States, if you get pasta that has the cooking time right on the front, chances are good it's a very good quality pasta.
Oh.
And it's a really good way to tell. It sounds really strange, but in my personal experience, every time I've purchased pasta that has this on the label,
it works.
You know, cooks in 9 to 11 minutes. It works really, really well. You also want to have really super boiling water. That's the other thing. And put the lid back on after the pasta goes in because you want to bring the water back up to that boiling temperature so it cooks really well and evenly.
Now, I also heard that you should put a salt, almost like the
yes.
sea.
Salt like salt. The sea.
Okay.
Yeah. And the thing is that a lot of that salt is going to run off out of the water when you drain the pasta anyway. So it's not like you're getting all of that salt into your body.
Gotcha.
But the pasta really does need a lot of salt. Pasta and potatoes, lots and lots of salt.
Gotcha. Well, Joan, that's all the time we have for today.
Thank you.
For today's segment.
Thanks for the questions.
And I love those questions.
I know,
great
those
questions.
Good ones. Yeah.
Yes. Well, you'll be back next week for yep. Cooking with Joan. And so we'll have more cooking fun to have with Joan here on 90.7 FM KSER.